let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Ephesians 4:29. Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a great verse to keep in mind when talking with anyone, but especially your spouse, and especially when you're having a disagreement. I'll talk about that with Howard Dayton today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, he's no stranger to this program since he used to host it, but Howard Dayton is also the founder of Compass Finances God's Way and author of Money and Marriage God's Way. Howard, great to have you back with us.
Oh, wonderful to be with you, Rob.
It's always great to have you, Howard. And we're taking another peek inside Money and Marriage, your book, and you've got a great chapter in it on how to resolve conflicts over money. It's something all married couples should learn, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, money is one of the most common areas of conflict for couples, Rob. Yeah. God knew that we'd have conflicts and even anger in our marriages. But when we resolve our anger, it can keep us from damaging our relationship. I love what Romans 12, verse 18 tells us. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And you might be surprised to learn that conflict isn't always bad. In fact, it can be a tool for strengthening the relationship. The way I like to describe it is it's just like a thunderstorm that can be terrifying, but it helps clean the air. So our goal should be to handle conflict well, with you and your spouse sharing your hearts with each other in a caring and positive way, trying to listen and be heard while connecting on a deep level. But unfortunately, many couples just don't know how to handle conflict well.
Well, that is so true. But you list, Howard, three factors that are essential to convert harmful conflicts into healthy ones. First, goodwill on the part of both spouses. Second, a written agreement on how to conduct themselves during conflict. And then an understanding of the importance of forgiveness. Let's move through these quickly, starting with goodwill. What do you mean by that?
Well, when conflict comes, Rob, loving and wanting the best for each other is the foundation for handling it in a healthy way. Yeah. Now, this is really important. The more your mate is certain of your love, the greater the goodwill between the two of you, and the easier it is to work through difficult issues. So ask yourself if these verses accurately describe your attitude towards your mate and how you treat your mate. From 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 5, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. And then verse 7 goes on to say, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And frankly, if you're not treating your spouse in these ways, I encourage you, spend time with the Lord. Ask Him to change your heart and your actions. Be candid with your wife or husband. If need be, ask forgiveness for your actions. And as you're faithful to live out these powerful verses, your marriage will be transformed all for the better.
That's really good. All right, factor two is to resolve conflict over money with a written agreement. Tell us more.
That's right, Rob. It's crucial for couples to write down agreed upon ground rules for healthy conflict. Here's the key. Before conflict erupts, Your agreement should be designed to foster open communication, love and respect for each other, and resolution of a problem.
Yeah, that's great. And I can see how that would be helpful to have that done in advance. All right, the third factor is forgiveness. This is, of course, a big idea.
Yeah, God realizes it's tremendously important for couples to forgive each other. Genuine forgiveness is really a key for healthy conflict and a great marriage. When you've wronged your mate, be quick to sincerely apologize and ask for forgiveness. And if you were the one wronged, also be quick, but quick to forgive.
Well, Howard, always great advice. And in this case, great advice for resolving marital conflict over money and frankly, anything else. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Great to be with you, Rob.
That's Howard Dayton. You can find out a lot more in his book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stick around.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Harrington, founder of the pro-life group Created Equal and host of Activist Radio, The Mark Harrington Show. Created Equal is all about saving the lives of unborn children. Each week, I cover the latest pro-life news and feature interviews with unsung heroes from across the nation who are making a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 for The Mark Harrington Show here on American Family Radio and discover how you, too, can help protect the lives of the most innocent among us.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000, as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we have lines open. Coming up today on the broadcast, a few of your emails as well. Cindy wants to know about the best way to get out of debt, whether she should borrow additional funds for a loan consolidation. And Marlene wants to talk about credit cards when you're married. That can be interesting, especially if you are only an authorized user on your spouse's card. How should you approach that? Also, the get-rich-quick mentality. A lot of folks, unfortunately, slip into that mindset in a market like this where they've seen some declines, trying to make up for it in a short period of time, and they get caught up in what they believe might be a quick way to make some money. Well, the Bible has some things to say about the get-rich-quick mentality. I'll weigh in on that today. Plus, your phone calls. Again, lines are open. Adam standing by to take them. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's begin today in Minnesota. Dale, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes. We sat before an attorney, I'm 72, and want to transfer my house to my son when I die to avoid probate.
Yes.
Is there a death upon decease or something like that? I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, so you're talking about a transfer on death?
Yeah.
Yes. And so you're looking to give this to your son at death. There's something called in some states a beneficiary need, a deed or a transfer on death deed that lets you name someone to receive your property when you die.
Right.
And it doesn't take effect until your death. So that's something you certainly could do if you're wanting to avoid probate, which would be how it would pass if it was just simply a part of your will. The other approach is to use a living trust, a revocable trust, where you would name the property in the trust, and then the trust would govern the conditions under which it's passed to your son outside of probate, and that could happen prior to or after your death. Based on the trust documents, you know, the trust could go into effect if you were incapacitated or something like that. But I think either of those are options. You said you have an estate planning attorney that you're working with, Dale?
Well, we sat down, this was a while ago before I had my strokes and stuff. It's in the will. Yeah.
Okay.
It's in my will.
Yeah. So I think what I would do is talk to your estate planning attorney just about what it is you're trying to accomplish and you know, make sure that you have the right strategy in place, because what you may find is that a transfer on death deed is not necessary in your case, and it could end up being, you know, a waste of money of sorts, depending upon, you know, what it is you want to accomplish. They are less expensive and less complicated than a living trust and can essentially accomplish the same thing if all you're looking to do is to pass the property outside of the probate process. So that may be exactly what you're looking for, but I would visit with an attorney for just a few hours just to make sure you've thought through it, and then whatever needs to be done can be drafted and put into place along with that attorney. If you don't have one, you could contact a certified kingdom advisor in your area and ask for a referral to a godly estate planning attorney. You do that on our website, moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA. Is that helpful, Dale?
Oh, yes. Also, I turned 72 in March. I have to have a automatic withdrawal from my traditional IRA.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with the money. I can't put it in my regular IRA.
That's right. Yeah. So you don't need the money?
Well, it's just sitting there right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't need it to live on. Is that right?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah. One option to consider, because you do have to fulfill that requirement at age 72, as you said, one option would be what's called a qualified charitable distribution. Are you familiar with that term?
I listen to you every day, so I probably have.
Okay. Well, essentially, here's what it does. If you don't need the money, a lot of folks, you know, aren't looking for that RMD to live on, and so therefore they just take the distribution, add it to their taxable income, and then sock it away in savings or something. One option is to actually fulfill the required minimum through a qualified charitable distribution. So essentially, the money, instead of being paid to you, would be paid directly to a charity or ministry. It could replace dollars you would have been sending to that same ministry out of cash. So it could be a replacement for that, and then you hang on to your cash, or it could be an addition to. but essentially, they receive the money, you satisfy your required minimum, and it's not added to your adjusted gross income for the year. And so it's not taxable to you. So you miss out on paying the tax. The ministry gets the full benefit of the amount that was transferred, and you satisfy that RMD at the same time, which you don't need, essentially. So that would be one option. But apart from that, you would just need to take it and then, you know, use it to bolster your savings or something else.
But what about gold and silver?
You certainly could do that. I'm wouldn't discourage you from doing that. I just wouldn't overweight in gold and silver. You know, for me, the a typical 5% allocation, 10 at the most, is probably what I would do in the precious metals. You know, gold is up right now. It typically is in inflationary times. And when there's uncertainty, geopolitical unrest, we have all of it. But over the long haul, it tends not to perform as well. And it's more volatile than just a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. And if you're looking at taking physical possession, you have the dealer markups on the buy and sell. You have to store it safely, and you just have those kind of other factors to deal with. Now, you can take an allocation of gold through an exchange-traded fund that's essentially a tracking fund to the price of gold, which is obviously a much simpler way to do it. But even then, I wouldn't overweight. I'd make sure that it's not an inordinate amount of your overall portfolio, okay?
In the year 2000, we were given $10,000, and I split it between gold and silver. And silver at that time was $5 an ounce, and gold was $300 an ounce.
Yeah.
So we paid the house off, and we paid the school off, you know, education and stuff. Everything was paid off, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's done well during that period of time. There's no doubt about it. You know, if you look at over the last 20 years, gold has produced about an 8.8% annualized return over the past 20 years. But if you look at it over the long haul, it tends not to perform as well. Certainly there are, you know, depending on what period you're looking at, you could see gold do quite well. And it has, you know, as of late. But I think, you know, if you're looking at the next 10 or 20 years and, you know, how you should be invested, I think an allocation to gold makes sense. I just wouldn't be highly concentrated there just because you're at the risk of one particular asset class. So I would be more broadly diversified. Dale, we appreciate you being a faithful listener and calling today, my friend. God bless you. Hey, before we head to the break, just a quick email. This one says, what's the best way to get out of debt? Should I borrow? From Cindy. And Cindy, let me tell you, with $40,000 in credit card debt, I wouldn't take out a new loan, a balance transfer or a consolidation loan. I would get in touch with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll get those interest rates down and help you pay it off 80% faster with one fixed monthly payment. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Cindy, thanks for your email. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Welcome back to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Whatever's on your mind today, if it's saving for the future, investing, as we round out perhaps what will be the second consecutive week of gains in the U.S. markets, which is a welcomed endeavor for sure. If you want to talk about investing, or maybe it's paying down debt or you're giving, whatever it might be, we'd love to tackle it with you as we apply principles from God's Word to the advice and decisions you're receiving and making today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Ohio. Minnie, you're next on the program today. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an S10 that is a 1994, has 191,000 miles. When I bought it, it only had 173,000 miles. A mechanic came and got it to do a tune-up because it quit on me, and his roommate got in there and drove it without oil. He blew up my truck. I don't know what to do now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a challenge. Minnie, are you in a position where you could go out and buy a new automobile?
No. My mom passed away 5 years ago, and I signed up for Social Security a couple of years after she died. I'm only getting $240 a month.
Yeah,
I got the truck to take my bakery stuff to market, but now I can't get anywhere.
Yeah. Well, obviously, a couple of options here. I mean, you could get, my team just looked this up, probably a remanufactured 94 Chevy S10 engine for somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500. Labor would run another probably $1,000 to $2,000. So worst case, you could have a rebuilt engine for $3,800. Would this person be willing to help you with that, given the situation?
I don't think he cares.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Well, this is obviously just a difficult situation here. Are you a part of a local church family, Minnie, and have you made them aware of your situation?
Yeah, they told me to go to a pawn shop and see if they had any trucks or cars. They didn't have anything.
Yeah.
I thought about getting a scooter, a Vespa scooter. I wanted one before I got the truck. My mom wouldn't drive to Toledo because she's scared of that city. But I said, I can drive, but sure. I didn't get to get that. If I'd have had it, I'd still have a nice vehicle.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to ask the MoneyWise community out there today. You know, we have a way that we can help many through your support. It's called our Helping Hands Ministry. Our team is able to verify the need, and they would engage with many just to get a little bit more information. And then we can actually take gifts here through the MoneyWise Helping Hands Ministry. And if this particular situation is approved, we're able to help her secure a new vehicle. And so if it's on your heart to help many today, we'd love to be a conduit for that. Just send us an email at info@moneywise.org. Let us know that you'd like to be a part of helping Minnie, and we'll see what we can do to get her some assistance. Again, if you'd like to help provide a replacement vehicle or get this one repaired, just shoot us an email, info@moneywise.org, and our team will check it out, and we'll see if we can provide some assistance. Minnie, let me pray for you as you navigate this. Father, we know this didn't catch you by surprise. Minnie's in a desperate situation, Lord, but you are her provider, and so we just call on you today that you would intervene in this situation, Lord, that you'd rally the body of Christ around her, that you'd encourage her, you'd give her wisdom as she navigates this. And as she looks back on this situation, may she be able to acknowledge that, Lord, you were the one that intervened here, and give you the glory for what comes of it. We know that even in challenging times, as you draw us unto you, Lord, That's an opportunity we have to grow deeper in our relationship with you and to trust you implicitly, even when we don't have the answers. And we know that's part of our maturing process as believers. And so we just trust you today. We ask you to provide here for many in this situation. And we tell you today, above all else, we're thankful for your son, Jesus. So we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Many, let's see what God does here, and we'll see how the MoneyWise community wants to step in here, and we'll be in touch with you. We can also get one of our coaches connected with you to perhaps help you set up a budget, just look at your situation and see if there's any other ideas that you haven't considered, and that's all free of charge. There's no cost for that. It's just part of our ministry. Hey, God bless you, and thank you for calling today. We appreciate it very, very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's take another email. We receive emails all the time from questions@moneywise.org, and we try to get them on the air as quickly as we can. Marlene wrote to us. She says, I'm 57 years old, recently retired. I work part-time and get a small pension. My husband and I have been married for 35 years. The house is paid for. The utilities are in his name, and I haven't had a credit card in years, so I have no credit. I just looked at my credit score for the first time in my life, and it's a 639, and I would like to get a credit card for emergencies. I've applied for a credit card and was denied, not because of bad credit, because of no credit. I recently had a good friend whose husband died unexpectedly, and she had no credit. I don't want to find myself in that situation. What would you suggest? And Marlene, this is not atypical. I certainly understand your desire to have something in place that could allow you to, you know, if your husband passed, have some credit established so that you could have your own credit card to use for budgeted items or qualify for a loan if you needed one for a car or you needed a mortgage, something like that. The best way to go from here, Marlene, would be, given your lack of credit, to open what's called a secured credit card, a secured credit card. And essentially what you'd do is you'd put an amount of money on deposit, $200 or $300 perhaps. They would issue you credit limit against that, so only up to what you had on deposit. And then you'd be able to charge against that collateral. So you could set up a recurring monthly charge that's a part of your budget, could be a very small amount, something you'd planned for. You'd, of course, pay it off in full, so you're not paying any interest. But that's going to be reported to your credit report as you being an on-time payer. They have no risk, because if you defaulted on that, well, they would just capture the $200 or $300 you have on deposit to pay the balance. But as long as you pay it off every month, they won't touch the amount that you put on deposit, and you'll have your credit history. So I would go that route. You can find the very best secured credit cards out there when you visit either NerdWallet or Bankrate.com or CreditCards.com. All three are great sites. You'll just want to be sure to look for secured credit cards. There's a good many of them out there that are all great options, and I think that'll give you what you're looking for. When we come back, your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really,
you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we go back to the phones, get rich quick. Be careful. Larry Burkett once said, get rich quick thinking leads to three basic errors. Number one, getting involved with things you cannot understand. Think cryptocurrency for many recent investors. Number two, risking funds you cannot afford to lose. That is borrowed funds. And number three, making hasty decisions. Each of these three actions violates one or more biblical principles, and together they constitute a sin called greed. You know, when it comes to getting rich quick, we hardly need to say more, but the temptation to take a shortcut to riches is still very powerful. Just look at the news. Crimes like shoplifting, drug dealing, identity theft, pyramid schemes are all on the rise because greed never goes away. I'm sure you wouldn't think of stealing a TV from Walmart, but the idea of getting rich without too much time or effort is still enticing, and schemes to take you there are all over the internet and social media. The biggest culprits are sweepstakes and pyramid schemes. So here's a couple of quick danger signs for these scams before we go back to the phones. First, if you have to pay money to earn money, it's a scam. This includes some sweepstakes and scholarship offers. I have a teenager looking at colleges right now, and we're hearing from organizations offering so-called leadership seminars for a fee. These groups look official. They might even promise scholarship money, but don't fall for it. Legitimate sweepstakes and scholarships won't have fees attached. Pyramid schemes are not only get rich quick, they're illegal. You're asked to invest a little money and you're promised big returns. Chances are you'll never see your money again. So just on general principles, avoid those high pressure sales meetings, even if they promise a free weekend somewhere. It's good to recognize and avoid scams, but that doesn't solve the problem of desiring to get rich quickly. Going back to the quote from Larry Burkett, he mentions three fundamental dangers of the get-rich-quick mentality, getting involved in things you don't understand. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 reminds us, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Again, I mentioned the example of a cryptocurrency. Bitcoin, for instance, is down 32% over the last 6 months, from around $35,000 to around $23,000. I'm not saying that cryptocurrencies are illegal or they're going away. I think the blockchain technology is here to stay. It's going to have far-reaching implications to our economy and beyond in the future. But a lot of people were jumping in as a get-rich-quick basic strategy, not understanding it, and have lost a lot of money. So you have to be very careful. The second danger in get-rich-quick thinking is the temptation to risk money you don't have or can't afford to lose. So never borrow to invest. Proverbs 27:2 warns that the prudent man sees evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. The third problem of trying to get rich quick is it usually involves making hasty decisions. I would take you to Proverbs 28:22. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. So let me wrap up our discussion here on the get rich quick mentality with one final quote from Larry Burkett. Listen to this. To avoid financial traps, we should establish our standards by God's word. Seek God's plans for our lives. Stick with what we know. Seek good counsel and wait on God's peace before acting. And that is wise advice from the late Larry Burkett. All right, let's head back to the phones today. We're going to head to Arkansas next. Greg, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, sir. I appreciate you. First off, I want to say I appreciate you stepping up to the plate and trying to attempt to take Dan's serious place. He was a great man. I love listening to his show. Yeah. And since then, I just love listening to your show. And I agree with everything you say. And I appreciate your biblical principles and the way that you make each individual caller feel like he got full attention with him. I really appreciate that.
Well, Greg, first of all, let me just say quickly how much I appreciate what you just said. What an encouragement. I totally concur about Dan. What an enormous loss. It's humbling to step into this role, but grateful just to be able to serve you and all of these listeners every day with God's wisdom, and I appreciate your kind remarks, sir. Thank you.
Yes, it's real hard to find godly principles and perspective on the radio anymore. And I feel that since that doing your company. My question is, I recently transferred all of my 401k to an individual family account, planning for my eventual retirement.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
67, but I plan on working at least another 5-10 years, however long my health will hold out.
Yes.
And the only debt I've really got is my house payment.
Okay.
I've got credit cards. I use them every month, but I keep a zero balance. I have a 401k through work that I contribute to, and then I have this individual retirement account. I've got, and my main question is, I've got about $70,000 to $80,000 in just a savings account for liquid cash, case of emergency. We usually take our vacation money out of that. You know, anything that comes up. But come across somebody I want to contribute to, or I feel somebody's got a need, I take it out of that. In other words, it's my lifestyle money.
Yes, sir.
Basically. Well, my financial advisor told me that having that much just sitting in a savings account on whatever a savings account draws, less than 0.5% or whatever, I'd be better off spending a big part of that money rather than just sitting on it. Because I wanted to build a shop building, but the way the building materials have gone up and the economy and everything's happening with this current administration, I felt safer having the $80,000 at my disposal,
yes, sir,
rather than tying it up in something else. But he says I would be better off spending it and getting more out of that money right now than just sitting on it. And I'm just not ready to turn loose of even half of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like the way you're thinking here, Greg. Couple of thoughts. Number one is I'd probably put this into buckets. So the first bucket would be what I would call your emergency savings. I'd peg that unless you want to move it up or down. And you're the steward. You need to make these decisions, no one else. But I'd recommend 6 months expenses. So if you're spending $2,500, $3,000 a month, you know, I'd look at a minimum of $18,000. If you're spending $4,000 a month, I'd look at $25,000. But that's your emergency fund. I'd get that into a separate liquid savings account. I'd look at an online bank like Ally, Marcus, Capital One 360. They're paying about 1% right now, and that's going to continue to move up with no fees, and you can link it electronically to your checking account. So if you ever need to move it, you can. The rest I'd earmark for other purposes. So I like the idea of you waiting on building this, waiting for materials to come down. You could put it into I-bonds, up to $20,000, you and your spouse, for this year. That would get you 9.62% with the backing of the full faith and credit of the United States government. It's got to stay in for a year, but at that rate, that'd be a great option for you for 12 months while you're waiting to use this money for that construction project. Hang on the line. I got to take a break, but we'll finish up off the air, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise of American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Recession? Are we in one? Headed for one? A lot of economic data out this week. A lot of folks out with a narrative saying, well, we're not in a recession quite yet. Is that true? Well, let's talk about it. Our resident economist, my good friend Jerry Boyer, joins us now. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's the editor of the business channel of the Christian Post. He is an opinion columnist for World Opinions. He's also the host of Meeting of Minds with Jerry Boyer, his podcast. Jerry, great to have you with us, my friend.
Always great to be with you as well. This is 2 days in a row.
I know.
It's
I love
a great
it.
Week.
Yesterday we did a webcast for advisors, and today he joins us on MoneyWise. Jerry, what say you as you look at the status of the U.S. economy? You're hearing what's being said by Janet Yellen and others. Obviously, Fed decision out yesterday. We had the GDP reading from Q2 that gave us a technical definition of a recession. But I'd love your analysis on the state of the U.S. economy.
Well, I mean, first of all, let's get the definitions right. The traditional definition of a recession is 2 quarters in a row, 6 months of negative economic growth. 2 quarters in a row where in each case, the economy gets smaller. Well, that happened. The only thing that would make that wrong is if the Fed comes back in a month and says, well, that was a preliminary number and we didn't actually shrink 0.9%. We grew 0.01% or something like that. But assuming that that number, because that initial number is an estimate, but they almost never change it much. And there's been this weird attempt to redefine the definition of a recession to say that whatever the National Bureau of Economic Research, the NBER, they're like, you know, they're like the goalkeeper, the scorekeeper.
Right.
For recessions. Well, I was curious about that because I heard that my whole life. So a few years ago, I called them and said, are you the official scorekeeper for recessions? And they said, well, we hear that a lot, I don't really know how to answer that. And I said, well, who made you the scorekeeper? What makes you official?
Yeah.
Well, good question. I don't know. Could you ask? Yes, I'll ask. So you know, the press officer went back. She said, well, there isn't any actual official thing from the president or an executive order or an act of Congress. It's just that our recession bars, our calls for when the recessions are, end up in government reports. In other words, government reports that data. But government reports a lot of data from private entities that they don't consider to be official. So there is nothing official. So I'm going to go with the dictionary. By the way, looking into this a little longer, if you actually search the U.S. code, there is a legal definition of a recession.
Okay.
Two quarters in a row of negative economic growth. In the mid-1980s, they passed a law that said, well, we don't want deficits to be too big, but if there's a recession, we can allow deficits to be a little bigger. Definition of a recession, two quarters in a row of negative economic growth. You know, in the futures markets we talk about where you can like bet who's going to be president next or, well, they have those for recessions. What's the definition? How do you know that you won the bet? Well, if there's two quarters in a row of negative economic growth. So, yeah, it's pretty official. And the administration is trying to spin this and redefine words, which is kind of disturbing.
Yeah. Well, clearly we're feeling it, in the form of inflation all around us, Jerry. Big question is obviously, where do we go from here? I know you look at all of this in terms of where gross domestic product is heading and the state of the U.S. economy through a lens you call principled reasoning, which is whether or not we're adhering to God's design for economic productivity and productivity in general in the creation of mankind. Give us your assessment of where we are on a go-forward basis through that lens.
Principled reasoning is about kind of long-term trends, right? So if we're doing wise things, we will tend to prosper. If we're doing unwise things, we will tend to not prosper. Recession calls are kind of cyclical and short-term. They're storms. Yeah. Recessions are not about whether you're built on the foundation of stone or sand. They're about whether there's a storm. We're pretty sandy right now in our foundation. Now, that doesn't mean this recession is going to keep going. What that probably means is when the recession ends, which could be reasonably soon, it could be a short recession. That's a reasonably likely outcome. We don't go back to the strong recovery growth. Usually after recessions, we grow 4%, 5%, 6%. But after 2008, 2009, Great Recession, we didn't grow that fast. We grew 2% because we weren't following principles. And we're drifting away from principles now. So I would say we're in for, even when the recession is over, the thing that I think is really the concern is, do we just stagnate? Yeah, there's a plus sign next to the GDP, but it's plus 1%, not plus 4%. That's and inflation, probably is likely to be kind of elevated for a while too. So stagflation, that's what we saw in the 70s, and I think that's what we're likely to see now.
Yeah. So low growth and higher than normal inflation. Obviously, the Fed using everything at their disposal to try to pull the inflation number back down. Where do you think we settle at? You said growth, perhaps 1%, maybe 2%, but something that would be considered low growth. Where do you think inflation settles out?
Well, my official, principle-based forecast on inflation is north of 4% over the next 5 years. And for growth is 1.5%. So I think that's where we are. And I think the reason that inflation will be elevated is because the Fed is going to lose its nerve. And the markets are already betting that. The futures market for interest rates are saying not only are they going to stop hiking, but early next year, probably February, they're going to start cutting. They're going to conclude that they went too far, caused a recession, that we can't stand the pain of a recession, and they'll turn the money spigots back on again. And that seems likely. I do not see people committed to principles in power now. And it takes principles to do a hard thing, a right thing that's hard. And so I think they'll do a little bit of hiking like they've done. It caused a bear market. It caused a recession. And they're going to say, we can't stand the pain. Keep the party going.
Yeah, there's a couple of challenges with that, Jerry. Obviously, with inflation, the cost of this massive debt we've allowed to get somewhat out of control, the cost of that interest is going up. We've also got Yes. population growth challenges. What's the answer? Is it innovation or something else?
Miracle. I mean, we've gotten ourselves into only half joking. We've got ourselves into a corner. You know, when you have abortion for 49 years, and there's 66 million people who are taken by that scourge, that has some long-term implications. You can't just turn on a dime. You can't just repent of your abortion and suddenly have a healthy workforce. There are generational implications to generational sins. So, innovation, maybe if we really had a rebirth, let's say we had a revival in America that's like some of the revivals in the past, which weren't just personal salvation revivals, but cultural, economic, innovation revivals, you know, the sort of thing that makes nations great. If we had something like that, then I think we could turn this around. But that's above my pay grade. It's above yours. But, you know, God could give us that. And if we did that, I mean, that's what caused the Industrial Revolution. There was an evangelical revival and then a huge work ethic shift and a shift towards thrift. And that made modern economics possible. So it could happen again, God willing.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry, what's the takeaway here? Final question today. Takeaway for the listener. You're not obviously calling for a debt crisis. I know we've talked about this before in the sense that you don't see that on the horizon. You know, some folks worried about an economic collapse. How should folks be looking at these times to be wise as people, as God's people? How should we be thinking about our own investments and the opportunity we have to be salt and light in the world?
I think what we ought to do is act as though a debt crisis is a reasonable possibility in the next several years, which means to be extra thrifty, or maybe you've been listening to MoneyWise, or you know you've been you've read Larry Burkett or Ron Blue over the years, and it's like, oh, that's interesting theoretically. No, it's time to get serious about it. It's time to avoid debt. It's time to spend less than you make. It's time to get better at your job. It's time for excellence in your work. Nothing wrong with a side job either. So it is a time to save up. It's a time to be the grasshopper, excuse me, the ant rather than the grasshopper, which is a little bit, Aesop is a little bit Solomon too, because I think that we are in for a pretty tough time, just like that grinding stagflation and the possibility of a genuine crisis in a few years. I would like Christians to be the people who are ready for that so that we can be a blessing to others if and when it happens.
But you would still be long-term an investor in stocks and bonds and a properly diversified portfolio, especially in these inflationary times, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I would, and am. I not only would be, but I am. So I'm a long-term investor, which means I'm invested in stocks, not bonds, and I'm invested internationally. Because let's say we have that in the United States, that doesn't mean everybody has that. So that's why I'm internationally diversified. If the United States has a debt crisis, other countries might not. In fact, probably won't, because there'd be a flight of capital away from us to them. So yes, I'm invested and intend to stay invested, but also hedged.
Yeah, very good. Jerry, always appreciate your wisdom, my friend. Thanks for joining us. I know you'll be with us on Tuesday as well, where we'll unpack this idea of what does that mean, debt crisis, and what is the possibility of that in the future? We'll talk about that on Tuesday next week. Jerry, God bless you, my friend. We appreciate
you
stopping by. All right. Thanks so much. Well, folks, Jerry Boyer joining us today. Always good to hear his comments and insights. Lisa, Carlos, Deborah, I'm so sorry we didn't get to your questions. I'd love for you to call us back on Monday, and we'll try to get you in right at the top of the program. We appreciate you checking in with us today. Folks, always a delight to be with you as we round out another week of applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. As Jerry said, we need to be wise. We need to be shrewd. We need to be following biblical wisdom. That means we're responsible for what passes through our hands, so we should live within our means, avoid debt, have some margin, set some long-term goals, but also give generously. That'll break the grip of money over your lives. I want to say thank you to my team today, Mr. Jim Henry, providing great support today to me, Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Also grateful for Adam Suddeth sitting in with us this week, answering our phones and managing our phone lines. We appreciate that very much. Grateful for American Family Radio and this partnership with MoneyWise Media, and thankful to you for being here today as well. Come back and join us on Monday. Have a great weekend, and may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.